Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
We believe that the world needs a little bit more good in it. Who doesn't believe that, right? So for 100 straight days, we are doing acts of kindness, and we call it Good Goes Round. Today is day 3.
The Burt Show's 100 days of Good Goes Round.
You guys just tell us what you need. And in today's case, all we need is a couple of pair of shoes. 700.
Oh.
Just 700 pairs of shoes. Well, I said, think big.
Yeah.
In big ways. 700 shoes. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. All right, so how can we and Burt Show fam help you out get 700 pairs of shoes?
So I am the community involvement coordinator for ACCO Finance in Duluth, and we have partnered with North Gwinnett Co-op for almost 3 years now on several different initiatives. One of my favorite is their Back to School Book Bag Bash that they do every year. And this year, Kim Phillips is the executive director of North Gwinnett Co-op, and she has decided to expand this year and has committed to providing a new pair of shoes to every student who is going to be getting a book bag and school supplies. And it's a huge ask. It's going to be a really big undertaking. And my company, I'm very lucky to work for a company who supports corporate giving and encourages employees to volunteer. And they have committed to give $5,000 to the initiative, which is great. But when you're looking at a $50,000 commitment or 700 pair of shoes, we need all the help that we can get. So I decided to reach out, and I am asking Burt Show listeners to help support this cause, donating $50, $70 to cover a cost of a pair of shoes would be amazing. And it's sometimes it's, I've been working for them for a long time now, and it's sometimes it's easy to forget that one person making a $50 donation has the exact same impact as five people making a $10 donation. So it's really whatever people can do. This organization is incredible, and Kim Phillips and Mary Warren do a phenomenal job, and they're really dedicated to Gwinnett County. The compassion that they bring every day, I just think is something that really deserves to be celebrated. And I just am really lucky to work with them and to partner with them. And I get emotional talking about them, so I apologize. But
don't apologize.
You find people that do so much good in this world, and they deserve every bit of help that they can get.
Yeah, Aaron, I think, you know, we talk about book bags and school supplies, and that stuff is obviously very important. But I, you know, you remember as a kid when you put your first day of school outfit together and you got to get some new kicks or some new shoes, you know, for school. I mean, that was a thing. So you think about all these kids going back to school, and the ones that are in fortunate enough positions where their parents can afford to get them new shoes. And then you have those kids going to school who have these hand-me-down shoes or these old shoes, and kids can be cruel. And those that don't have the new shoes, I'm sure are feeling some sort of way.
Sure.
And I'm sure there are kids who are not nice about the way their shoes look. So it would be lovely for every child to have a new pair of shoes when they go to school. That way they can feel as special as everybody else who got that new pair.
So Kim Phillips here is the executive director, North Gwinnett Co-op. And I would really love to get a sort of paint the picture on exactly what the lives look like of the kids that you guys are trying to help out. Kim?
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having us on this morning. So we serve about 40,000 people a year, and my biggest demographic of that is children. I serve more children than I do adults. So we really focus on serving our families. And, you know, like you were just saying, back to school shopping for a lot of kids is a lot of fun, but my families don't really get to do that. You know, most of my families are working. I think people think that, oh, people are just, you know, not working. But we, most of my families are working paycheck to paycheck, and just the economy and everything that comes with it. They don't have a lot of wiggle room for the average of $250 to $500 that it takes to prepare your child to get ready for school. And so we decided that we've got such a great, we handed out over 1,200 book bags last year. And so we decided that we were going to try to prepare each child and also give them a pair of shoes. So at our book bag bash, we they will be trying on the shoe sizes there. And we're going to turn around and work with one of our retail partners and get them in a bulk order and then have a big handout day in a couple of days after the event so they all have their new shoes before school.
Okay, so this is ambitious. I think we can do it. You know what? Burt Show Fam is amazing coming through on stuff like this. So exactly where can they go to start donating, to start working on these 700 pairs of shoes?
Well, there is a link on the Burt Show website so that you've got that all set up for us. And so, yeah, I mean, and like Aaron said, $1, $5, it all adds up. And we would really appreciate everybody's help. It's, you know, it is a big ask. Mm-hmm. And but we are, you know, we're trying to, if we raise more than $50,000, and that's just that many more pairs of shoes we can hand out. So, but yeah, the link is on the Burt Show website.
So the goal is $50,000, and I will let you know already $25,195 a raise. That's our starting point.
Before, so we're halfway there.
Before we even came on this morning, that's $25,195. And if you remember, Aaron's company is donating $5,000. So we're at $30,195 right now. We're over halfway.
Where'd the 25 grand come from?
So I think just folks before that they had reached out to volunteers and the people that they normally deal with these things. Okay. But they definitely need help. And Burt Show Fam, this is your chance to be a part of the Burt Show's 100 Days of Good Goes Round.
Hey, I want to thank you guys for coming on with us. And for those that kind of live in a bubble, you almost think like shoes for kids. That's like Guatemala, man. That's not the United States of America. Oh, yeah, it is.
This definitely is.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Days.
And these are kids are right up the street that could really use your help. So if you can help out, we have got everything lined up for you right now at theburtshow.com. All right, guys, let us know in the future how we can help you out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much.
And for the rest of you guys that have organizations that you'd love to help out or you need our help, we're willing to get our hands dirty too. Hit us up at theburtshow.com.
The Burt Show.
For those of us old enough to remember this reference, we might have ourselves a new Beanie Baby.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Chris.
Oh!
Really?
Is it oh or is it oh?
It's, maybe it's both.
Pokemon cards still and never went away. Still hot. People are fighting in parking lots over Pokemon cards again because they're worth so much money. Not talking about those. All right, bring it, Rebecca, and give us the warning.
We need to talk about laboo-boos.
Laboo-boo. Labu-labu, laboo-boo. Laboo-boo. Labu-labu, laboo-boo. Laboo-boo.
I'm out.
I'm pretty sure that's how they...
I'm all set.
I'm pretty sure that's how they greet you at the gates of hell.
For you, for sure.
I'm scared.
I am crashing out over laboo-boos. They are ruining my life.
Those little suckers are everywhere.
Ooh.
They are everywhere. Laboo-boo.
Laboo-boo? All right, if you guys want to get in on this, because you're already feeling it, 1-855-BIRCHO. What are they?
Okay, laboo-boos are these, they're the hottest toy on the market, but they are specifically targeted towards younger women. They are blind box collectibles. So they look like furry little monster creatures. They're made by Pop Mart, which is this blind box retailer from China. So they look like this. These are Labubus.
Oh.
They are kind of adorable.
No, I'm terrified. Why is it looking at me like that?
Because he's mysterious and elvish, and he's a little creature.
Are these targeted at young women or young girls?
I think originally they were targeted at children, but young women on TikTok have decided this is the new it item, Dua Lipa. Rihanna, Kim Kardashian.
Hillary Duff.
Everybody is rocking the Labubu.
Okay, again, give us a physical description on exactly what it looks like. They are adorable, though.
There are different series. This one that I am holding, it's like they're furry. They have like sort of bunny ears. They have serrated teeth. And their facial expressions change from like very wide-eyed and open and staring right at you to kind of grinning in a mischievous little glance.
They're wearing footless onesies.
So you said rocking them, like you're supposed to wear them?
People put them on their bags, like their designer bags. Oh. They put Labubu. They're so popular, now there are Lafufu, which are fake Labubus that you can buy for like a total premium. Like they're so much cheaper.
How? Buy so much cheaper? Like what does a Labubu cost you?
So here's the craziest thing. If you are able to get a Labubu as soon as they drop, which is impossible, they cost like $20-$30 max. People are buying Labubus at resale prices for $1,000.
They're scalping the Labubus?
They are scalping the Labubus. You can, if I go on Pop Mart right now for a resale, it's like $80.
It is like the Princess Diana beanie baby all over
again. Yeah, I've seen this before, right? So do they manufacture a whole bunch of these, but then there are like two or three that are just so hard to find that those are the ones that inevitably investors are going to look at saying, this thing's going to be worth $10,000 in a decade.
The rarer ones I've seen, like they will go for like $1,300 because in every limited collection, there is a rare Labubu, which is very prized and coveted. The real problem is that as soon as they drop them, they only make a certain amount. So everyone is on Pop Mart waiting to click it. And my friend, this is a real picture. She has bought 6 of them.
Oh my God.
Here they are in her arms. They are her babies, literally. And if anyone has bought a Labubu, I need you to tell me how to buy one because I hate them so much and I need one.
I remember back in the day, my ex-wife and I in Canada, I think we were in Montreal. And at the time, I don't remember what the Beanie Baby's name was, but it had like a Canadian leaf on it. Like the Toronto Maple Leafs logo almost.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what it was, but it was worth so much money that we spent half of our vacation in Canada going from store to store looking for this one specific Beanie Baby. And I have a feeling it's going to be the same craze here.
It's like it's money. It's time. My friend literally just spends her time refreshing the Pop Mart site, waiting for the Labubus to drop so she can add them to her cart. It's like gambling at this point.
I'm always so curious, like, where was the moment that, like, there had to have been, like, a tipping point. Something had to have happened to make this a craze. So what was that tipping point? I mean, of course, if we knew it, then everybody would utilize it and everything and everybody created would become a craze. But it's like, at what point did Labubu just become like another toy to now every young 20-something woman is after it?
Yeah, this absolutely fascinates me. If I was in a position to do a thesis and smart enough to do a thesis, I would do it on trends. Because at some point or another, things that become trendy take off, and there's got to be a couple of people of influence that everybody's like, well, they're doing it, so I need to do it. And with that list that you just said, the Dua Lipas, the Kim Kardashians, they can turn something really hot very quickly.
Once it catches fire and then you don't release enough of them, it immediately becomes a staple because now it's a rarity. So it's probably smart for them to just keep putting out a little bit at a time so that it'll keep the value.
As it is now, the only way to get them is online, or can you run to a Target or a Walmart?
So they're mostly sold in the U.S. On PopMart.com. There are Pop Mart retailers. There's not any in Atlanta. I know there's one store in Atlanta, Plastic Empire. I've had a friend in Marietta who can get them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Where are they? Where are you, Labubu?
I drive by there every day. Do you want me to stop by there today and see if they have some?
I need you to go find me a Labubu.
Plastic Empire. I pass it every day.
If you can go in there and find me a Labubu, I will get you so much Mountain Dew.
I will go today.
Okay, but again, you said said these are blind items. So if you got it from Pop Mart, you don't know which one you're getting. You can't, like, specify.
Yes, that's the biggest part of the appeal. You have no idea what color you're getting, what the facial expression's going to be. That's it.
But for resale, like, I'm on Etsy right now, and there's the macaroon Labubu on Etsy that's available. These, you see, you know exactly what you're getting because they're doing resale.
Yes, people open them, and people can buy the specific Labubu that they want.
It's brilliant marketing.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Is it hard to tell the difference between the LaFoufou and the Labubu?
Honestly, I think the LaFoufou, they're pretty good fakes. I would rock a LaFoufou.
Hey, if you can't tell, right?
I feel like it's had a stroke.
It does sound like it. All right, so if your kids start hitting you up for them, at least now you know exactly what it is, and it's going to set you back quite a bit.
Labubu.
The Burt Show.
All right, we got some business to take care of here because we've got one Burt Show listener that is specifically avoiding a double date with her wife's coworker for a very specific reason. Aradia, you are on The Voice Disguiser. Good morning. You need some help here?
Good morning. I do.
Okay, what do we got?
All right, so my wife's coworker, we've been trying to get together and we keep canceling. But, so her ex, no, her husband's ex stole a dog from a park for their kids.
Okay, let me get this right. The husband's ex, you know for sure, stole a dog from a park? For sure.
How for sure can I have to pay? Because it's like a chain, it's like a telephone chain. So, because I hear it from my wife. My wife heard it from her coworker. Her coworker heard it from her husband. Her husband heard it from his ex-wife.
Well, then it's fact.
Like that old game telephone, right?
Right. All right, so let's just assume that all the rumors are true, okay?
Okay. Well, then it continues because then they got custody of the kids now. When they got custody of the kids, they got custody of the dog. So, I'm uncomfortable because I feel like they are all accessories to the crime. So now I feel like I'm an accessory to the crime if I don't do something. But what I do is what I need advice for. So do I call the authorities? Do I go on a double date and somehow steal the dog and take it to to the vet and see if it has a chip and find its home, and if not, give it back? I don't know what to do.
Man, you guys that run into a tornado of storm fascinate me, man, because I run as fast as I can away from this kind. Not my business. I wouldn't do anything with this whatsoever, especially based on, well, my girlfriend's boyfriend's husband's cousin who works at a Dave & Buster's and has got a kid has definitely seen this guy steal a dog.
All right, so Aradia is a fellow pet lover, someone that has three dogs herself. Like, I get the emotion behind not wanting to go into a person's home that stole a dog. But again, we have no confirmation that it was a stolen dog. And it's not your coworker who stole it, but it's her current husband who has custody of the dog that his ex-wife stole.
Silliness.
It took me a hot second, girl, but I got there. So, again, because this has been a game of telephone, and that is heartbreaking to think that you would be in the home petting the head of a dog that was potentially stolen, and there's a family out there, maybe with a young child, that are missing their beloved pet. Like, I can see that scenario playing out in your head. So if I were you, if I was in your shoes, I would do the double date just because we don't have any kind of evidence. All we have are some allegations. And I would ask questions about the dog, right? Be like, oh, I'm such a dog lover, blah, blah, blah. What's the breed? Da, 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 da. Did you rescue? Blah, blah, blah. You know, Paws Atlanta is my favorite rescue, or the Atlanta Humane Society, blah, blah, blah. And see what they say, and then just try to get a feel. And then you can lay eyes on the dog. I would take a picture of the dog. And then when I get home, I would do a reverse Google search and see if anybody has posted the dog as lost.
Yes, Tommy.
Speaking of picture, yesterday I talked to Aradia for like 30 minutes. I was walking around Walmart talking to her about this story. And she sent me a picture of the dog. And I just sent it to you guys.
On Facebook.
So Yeah. Open your phones. This is like the cutest dog ever. And I just picture some little girl somewhere crying herself to sleep at night because this little precious dog was dog napped from a park.
Yeah. I feel the same. It's a cute dog. I still feel the same way, man. Not my monkey, not my circus.
I feel it's definitely not my business. You definitely don't have enough. I think the authorities would tell you that as well. However, if you do what Kristen has suggested you do, and then maybe you find a way to dog sit and then just happen to take the dog to see if, you know, there's a chip in there. That's not technically a crime, is all I'm saying.
I think you should go on the double date. I think you should absolutely go. I think you should look him in the eyes as you're calling 911. And I think you need to have the authorities come in and swoop that freaking dog out. Because if somebody has stolen my dog, I'm going to war for it.
I got 99 problems, man. This dog wouldn't be one. All right, Aradia, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate you.
Thanks.
All right.
I still haven't got the picture of the dog, dang it.
Same here.
Oh, dude. It's in your text. It's in your text.
Yeah. Oh, a text.
Yeah. It's adorable.
Yeah, I said text.
I will give Tommy that. It is 100% adorable.
Look in the dog's eyes. See what the eyes tell you.
All right. Save me.
Women here in Atlanta, everywhere actually, are going to be crashing out over this. And Abby's going to be the one to deliver it. So if you get angry at us, it's Abby's fault.
No, it's actually Fox 5 Atlanta's fault because I saw this come across my TikTok For You page. And some people's favorite beverage, you might be thinking twice about drinking it next time you grab a can of Diet Coke.
It may have zero calories and no added sugar, but researchers say Diet Coke may increase the risk of heart disease and stroke. Some studies show this may be due to how artificial sweeteners are processed in the body, and they change the balance of gut bacteria, can cause weight gain, and increase your risk of type 2 diabetes. In fact, aspartame, the artificial sweetener in Diet Coke, has been labeled as possibly carcinogenic by the World Health Organization. Experts recommend swapping out your Diet Coke for lightly sweetened tea or coffee, or better yet, water.
All right, so most people, especially in Atlanta, hear something like that, and I tell you what, if you said there are now knives in the Diet Coke can, don't drink it, people would go, I'll risk it.
People do not care, but some people are freaking out in the comments. So I ran straight to see what people are saying, because sometimes the TikTok comments are like more entertaining than the video.
Always.
And someone said, I can't hear over the crisp bubbles in my Diet Coke. Someone said, I don't drink or smoke and I exercise every day. I'm not giving up my life juice.
That's fair.
Someone said, this made me crave a Diet Coke. Someone said, we all got to die at some point. And then a girl named Daisy said, keep scrolling, everyone. They don't want us to be happy.
I know this is going to be sacrilegious, and I think I've said this on the show before. You know, I have never had a full can of Coke or Diet Coke in my life.
That doesn't surprise me about you.
Diet Coke, I'm with you. I've never had Diet Coke, but I've had a Coke with you.
My parents up in New York City, it's more of a Pepsi thing for than sure. It is Coke thing, which is, what? It's really weird to go to other parts of the country. Believe it or not, Pepsi is more popular than Coke. This is blasphemy, but it's true. So my parents never had it in the house. So I didn't have it when I was young. And I mean, I've put it in like a rum and Coke, but I've never had a full can of Coke or Diet Coke in my life.
Yeah, maybe this aspartame research was funded by Pepsi and this is all just propaganda. But all I hear is that Coke Zero is the way to go.
Bert, for your first, you should try Coke Zero because I know you're not big into sugar. You're a health nut. And I bet I drink 8 Coke Zeros a day.
Good God. All right.
I think at that point, the zero got to be pointless.
Two in my bag every morning that I eat with a health bar, which really tastes like a candy bar.
A health bar? You're pairing that with a health bar.
Yeah, I call it a health bar. It's a protein. It's got protein in it.
But is it Snickers with some peanuts?
I call it a health bar.
There's a lot of
it's
chocolate
Snickers.
In it. But then I'll go to our break room and let me tell you what, y'all. Coke Zero Orange Cream, which is out now. It's like orange vanilla Coke Zero. Good. Googa Mooga, man. That stuff is good.
Can I tell you the least?
Googa Mooga, can I introduce you to this thing called water?
There's some in Coke.
I will tell you, before I moved to Atlanta, I went 7.5 years without drinking a soft drink. 7.5 years. And then I swear to God.
Was it seven and a half years, or did it feel like seven and a half years?
I was 7 days.
I know where I was. I know who I was talking to when I had my last drink. I was sitting in the drive-thru next to the Arclight Theater in Hollywood, California, and I got a Coke, and that was my last one. 7 years, I didn't touch one. And then I came here and I discovered the world of Coke. And they have these tasting stations at the end, and I had to taste. And then I've been on, you know, the Coke train ever since.
Tommy, I need you to be honest with yourself. You know Coke Zero is not good for you, right?
They didn't mention Coke Zero in that report.
They did not mention that in the report. No, but I need you to look me in the eyes. I need to know that you are still here with us and you are not sitting on Delulu Island.
I'm telling you.
He's gone.
He's totally gone.
You know Coke Zero is not good for you.
I told them the other day, Bert and I have a bet who's going to die first. I will pour out Coke Zero on Bert's grave.
You're not going to have to worry about it. You keep drinking like that, buddy. Not a chance.
The Bert Show. Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
There's certainly been an uptick in discrimination against short people. I mean, I'm seeing it all the freaking time. It's hard to numb it out. And here we go again. Tinder coming after us, quote unquote. I can't call myself a king in any way, shape, or form. Short guys.
There's now a feature on Tinder where you can be very height specific. So found an article, and 6 years ago, apparently Tinder did an April Fool's prank about adding a height verification feature where you couldn't put in like what your height was. Like you actually had to stand and it was going to measure you, and Tinder was going to like specify your height. So you couldn't catfish women into saying you were 6 foot when you were really 5'3". Okay. So that was an April Fool's prank. However, there is a new feature, and the Tinder spokesperson said this is part of a broader effort to help people connect more intentionally. And you can go on there and you can take a little slider and put your height preference. This is a premium feature. And people have big feelings about said feature. And there is one consistent thing that keeps getting thrown out. And that people are upset about. One person on social media said, "Justice for all our, you know, for all us short kings." And another says, "It's so hypocritical that men are demonized for having preferences, but it's okay for women." And then other people are saying, "Could you imagine if they had a weight scale on there and you could choose how much you wanted a woman to weigh?"
I agree with that last thing.
There's a lot to chew on.
Cassie's, I said chew on, and then we were talking about weight.
Not intentional.
As a short dude, I'm 5'4". This doesn't bother me at all. You got preferences, man. I mean, some people like to date tall people. Some people like to date short people. And what is dating? It's all about time, man. So if you have a filter on there, it's no different to me than my Airbnb. When I put a filter on what kind of Airbnb I'm looking for, that's my preference. And the Airbnb doesn't say to me, "Hey, we don't have a pool. You can't stay here." It's really no different, man. You're saving me time and you're saving you time. I got no problem with this at all.
Yeah, all I'm saying, if you're the type of person to pay $19.99 per month because you don't want to go out with a guy under 5'10", like, then I think this feature is for those people. Everyone else is just going to be doing the same thing, looking at the fact that you've said 6 foot and I know you're 5'10".
Right.
You're not surprising me anymore. We've known the game.
I saw a TikTok the other day that said there is no person in the world that is 5'10".
Or 5'11". 5'11" is a fake number.
Right. 5'11" is 5'10".
I went out with a guy this week and he said he's 5'10". And I'm like, no, I know I'm rolling up and about to see a 5'7" shorty baddie. Like,
yeah, I can't tell short men how to feel, but I don't really think this is much ado about anything. I just think preferences should be preferences on both sides of the field. Like you said, it is a double standard to where when men have preferences, it seems to be, I guess, accepted differently. But I really really do just think on either side, it's just a preference and no one should be offended.
Well, let's go down this road for a second. Let's say it was a weight preference. Let's say that was a real thing. Let's say Tinder's like, okay, we hear you guys. There's now going to be a weight preference and we're going to have a filter on that. How would you feel about it?
The thing is weight so, like if I'm a 5'11 girl who weighs 140, that quote unquote looks a lot different than someone who's my height and 140. So I almost feel like it wouldn't, the logistics don't work out. But in a world where I understand what you're saying, if you could filter out like BMI or someone's body shape or whatever, I don't know why that feels different. And I think it's just because women are used to men lying about their height. And because it is a preference that you show up and you're like, oh, you're a completely different height than what you put on your profile.
You're going to say it or I'm going to say it.
What? Women what? Lie about their weight too.
But if you have if I have a photo, there's only so much I can do to be like, yeah, this is how I, like, this is just how I look. You know what I mean? Like whether I'm 115 or 125 or 135 or whatever.
It can also depend on what era of life that photo was from.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And what Facetune you put on it.
Yeah.
Can we all just admit that when you make that type of preference, and can people just own, it's a shallow preference to have.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
And so I think, like, if you want to have that preference, you can have that preference, but just own the fact that that's a really shallow preference, and you're probably eliminating some really quality people because you're not choosing to get to know them for their character rather than just their physical appearance. 1,000%.
I think the thing that hits me on this is, like, I'm older than most of the guys that are seeing a lot of this stuff on Tinder or in the algorithms on Instagram and stuff like that. And I think when you're younger and you're trying to date and you're already insecure. Look, I am still insecure about my height at my age, and I got everything that I want in life. I got a woman that loves me. I got healthy kids. I love my career. I got everything I want. And I am still insecure about my height. It's so different when you're at a young age because it's debilitating. So the amount that it's in your face right now for like 19-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds is concerning to me because it's such a different time now than it was when I was short. It's a built-in insecurity, and now it's in your face all the time.
I get it, and it's kind of like a stock joke that people use. It's like, oh, I only date tall guys over 6'2". And I'm guilty. I use this joke all the time, but I think it's important to realize that it's just that. It's a joke that people will lean into. It's not necessarily a reflection of complete reality.
Yeah, a lot of my friends who are short are constantly talking about my height, and I never really got why until they really had to break it down to me. Like, this is something I've dealt with my entire life. Like, You wouldn't understand. I hear this everywhere I go. If I'm out, if I'm trying to talk to a woman, I'm always hearing that I'm short, and I feel like they cannot change it, so they shouldn't have to deal with being shamed for it.
I saw it again, and I don't know how we make it happen, but there was a video of a same height party. So you find out who the tallest person is who's going to be at the party, and everybody gets like these platforms to stand on that makes everybody the exact same height, and it is fascinating. I don't know where, and they're like these really light foam platforms that you strap to your shoes, and everybody's walking around and just looking at each other in the eyes. But it was fascinating.
As a short guy, I can tell you that the longest leap you will ever make is coming off that foam ramp, because then we have this sushi place right here, Sushi Nami.
Yeah.
Have you guys been there and been to the bar?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the chairs are kind of high. Yeah,
the chairs are so high in there.
I never noticed that, but they are.
For
high.
A guy that's 5'4", man, I like need help getting into them. Right?
Is it climbing Mount Kilimanjaro?
Jumping off the chair at the bar is not sexy.
Man, I'm telling you, seriously.
Oh my god,
have you seen that Kevin Hart special where he's sitting on the stool and he's swinging his legs? Wild man, swing his legs.
Every time I'm in that place, and again, I have a girlfriend that's fairly short also, but every time I'm in that place, I think when I climb my way up onto that chair, that if I was on a first date and she comes in after me and I'm sitting there, no matter how much I had to pee, I would never go get off that chair.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
You know, you would think you would get to a certain tax bracket, like, you know, being a billionaire and not having to ask your parents for money anymore. But apparently, according to Mr. Beast, even though you have a billion attached to your net worth, he still has to call up mom for money for his wedding. So in a recent Twitter thread/X thread, he revealed that his net worth is actually $1 billion. But he said something interesting that I don't think a lot of people expected. He said, I personally have very little money, because I reinvest everything. I think this year we'll spend around $250 million on content. Ironically, I'm actually borrowing money from my mom to pay for my upcoming wedding. LOL.
The Mr. Beast hate I have never understood. The amount of good that guy has done. His heart is so big. You know what he does with his money? He reinvests it in his own charities. But also, he's built a community for his family to live around him in a specific neighborhood so he could be around his friends and family. I think that's pretty dang cool. And the hate that he gets, I have never understood it.
In the words of Taylor Swift, people like to throw rocks at things that shine.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Good quote. Good quote.
An influencer who's made billions, that's all you need to be in order for people to hate you.
Yeah.
But I think it's also a good lesson for people to see that, like, even if you are going to do all the good in the world and if you're going to be as successful as Mr. Beast, people will still find something to complain about.
Sure. Absolutely.
I think especially if you're the type of person to, like, put yourself out on the internet, you need to be able to look at those kinds of icons and realize that if you're receiving some kind of backlash or hate for whatever reason, it's probably not personal. People just like to throw rocks at things that shine.
It really starts to make you less capable of constructive criticism. When you see so many negative comments that you know are incorrect, it's hard to filter through them to get to ones that could actually be helpful.
No, for sure. Because if you're seeing a laundry list of things that are wrong with you, you have no idea who these people, who they are and what their character is and if there's any merit in what they're saying. So yeah, it's a tough line to follow. Okay, Kylie Jenner, she is finally getting real about something people have speculated about forever. Her boob job. She recently confirmed that she did get her boobs done when she was 19. And after a TikToker asked her a question about the specifics, she decided to get very candid.
This is a TikTok for Kylie Jenner, okay? If you're not Kylie Jenner and you don't care about boob jobs, plastic surgery, just keep scrolling. Girl, please, can you just tell us? I promise you, my followers, lovely. Safe space on here. Please, can you just tell me /us/anyone that's interested what it is that you asked for when you had your boobs done?
And she gave us the exact details. I don't know what any of this means in boob job world, but she literally gave like the recipe. And I'm starting to wonder if surgeons are going to start putting out like a happy meal, like you can get the Kylie Jenner special.
For sure. I mean, it's no different than when Kristen came in with that beautiful forehead and I went to her doctor and I said, I want the Kristen.
The Kristen special. So Kylie Jenner apparently has a 4.45cc moderate profile silicone implants placed partially under the muscle, and her surgeon is Dr. Garth Fisher, who is apparently a Beverly Hills staple in the plastic surgery world.
And now a double billionaire.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that she has said, look, this is all fake. It's all fake. It drives me crazy when celebrities try to hide behind it or they clearly have gotten plastic surgery. I don't know what Bethany Frankel is going to say over the next couple of days, but she came out on this catwalk in Miami a couple of days ago, and she's 54 years old, and she's got the body now of a 22-year-old, and she's changed her face and everything else. It would drive me crazy if she said she didn't do anything.
Oh, absolutely. It'd be infuriating.
I love her honesty. I do think people have to remember, though, every body is different. So just because that looks good on Kylie Jenner doesn't mean like what her boob job recipe is going to look, you know, it's going to look the same on you. Also have to keep that in mind.
Isn't that the responsibility of the doctor when you go in there and you say, hey, I want the Kylie, for them to say, hey, you're 5'10", she's 5'4".
It is, but there are not some... There are a lot of upstanding doctors out there, but there are some not so upstanding doctors that they're not going to care if it looks good on you or not. They just want the paycheck.
Well, what's also crazy is there's actually a study that went out that showed that a lot of doctors, specifically male doctors, typically would put in larger implants than what their patients ask for. So like if I went in saying, hey, I want to be a C cup or whatever, there's a lot of research that shows that they're getting Ds or double Ds and the patients are waking up like, this is not what I asked for.
Wow.
Do you think at some point the pendulum is going to go the other way? You know, we've been talking a lot about Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, and they have all changed so much in two seasons that they all look so common now. It's that LA influencer fake look, which now I don't find attractive at all, but everybody is looking sort of the same and fake. Do you think at some point we go back to natural, where that's the in look again?
people are calling it iPhone face. And if you look at a bunch of influencers, like side by side by side, they all kind of have that filler, poreless, glowy look. And I think to an extent, maybe that trend is going to go away. Like, I've seen people say that maybe the true sign of beauty in 20 years is going to be having done no work at all, because you're going to look so unique. But plastic surgery really is not that new. I actually had no idea that, like, Marilyn Monroe, for example, had a nose job and plastic surgery. So I think beauty standards will kind of stay the same. Like, things that look traditionally feminine or traditionally masculine will always be desirable. But I do think the filler and the kind of overdone look for sure is going to be gone.
The pendulum is already swinging.
It is?
Yeah, according to my algorithm, people are dissolving their fillers. I just saw an article pop up and saying, like, why we no longer want to look like the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. Like, because it just got so copycat, and people want to bring back unique looks again. So the pendulum is already swinging.
Yeah, it's such a common look now that there's, like, nothing special about it whatsoever.
Yeah, everyone kind of looks the same. Yeah. All right, there was a minor delay in the Diddy trial after a heckler got kicked out of the courtroom. I'm going to tell you what she did to get escorted out on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No